Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Good evening, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Alon, and this is Nate.
Hey, folks.
We are here for another week of an excellent show to talk about video games. Now, I have a whole... Every week, I have a big outline in front of me of what we're going to do for the show.
Big outline.
It's big. It's exhaustive. We have all this stuff to talk about. We don't always get to it all. But I always miss the part where I say, you know, mention why we're better than everybody else. I haven't done that, have I?
Not,
I don't remember doing
often.
That before.
I remember it was on there, but you have your own way of doing things.
You know, I just forget.
You do forget. You know, I remind you a lot that you need to do something.
We're the only show that traditionally broadcasts over the radio and podcasts.
Right. That is right.
Do industry editorial, not just game reviews. Not just. I mean, we don't even do that.
We don't even want to give reviews because we're not that good at it.
I mean, I will tell you if I like a game, if I play a game, but we don't go into that.
Nah.
We talk about other stuff. And that's what we're going to do today. We have a couple hot topics. First of all, there's a lot going on. Basically, the whole last year and a half. So I don't know what it is that happened in the world. I don't know if it's just media coverage or if it's an actual change in how society is or what. But there's all this talk about, you know, legislation and violence in games. And every senator and their mother, apparently, is submitting bills for approval to make laws in the United States. So I want to talk about this a little bit. Not about the laws themselves, because we've covered a lot of those. But I want to talk about if I really need to care anymore.
Well, you do.
Well, we'll talk about that. Let's save it.
Okay.
All right. And then I also have another topic near and dear to my heart. Another thing that I think a lot of us may have taken note of, but not taken the time to actually consider consciously, is that obviously lots of game companies out there all vying for our dollars. And I'm curious how many of them are actually in touch with us. And there's examples of some that are and that aren't. And a lot of examples of ones that try really hard to be and fail. And so we're going to talk about that.
And then a lot that tell you, hey, you're going to want this game.
Yeah.
Not necessarily you do, but you're going to want it.
Yeah. So we will talk about this later on in the show. Now, first of all, I want to start off. Well, you know what? How we always start off. Let's try to stay to the format here.
Okay.
Talk about games we've been playing.
Let's be crazy.
Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about a game. We have already talked about, in fact, Geometry Wars for the Xbox, and then Geometry Wars follow-up.
You got it today for your computer there.
Yes.
And we're amazed at how great it was.
Well, this is what happened. For those of you who don't know, Geometry Wars, excellent game, throwback to old-style
gaming. Best game for the 360 to date,
yeah.
I'm willing to say.
So far, really is. And it's an Xbox Live Arcade game. That's Geometry Wars 2, or Geometry Wars Evolved, I think is what it's called.
Something like
that. For the 360. And the original was like sort of a hidden game in Project Gotham Racing 2. And so the demo of this new one is on Project Gotham 3, and then you can get the whole game on Xbox Live Arcade. It's fantastic. Somebody, who's apparently very talented, took it upon himself to make this almost an exact copy for the PC. Runs on a dual analog controller. It's beautiful. I just happen to have my USB adapter for the PS2 controller. Plugged it in. It's called Grid Wars. And it's so good that I actually hosted it on our front page until Microsoft or somebody tells them they're not allowed to do it.
Yeah.
It's on our front page. So if you want to go visit chatterboxgameshow.com, right there. And the guy's had a lot of success lately, and he's asking for people to donate to his
bandwidth
costs.
Yeah.
Share the bandwidth and help him pay for the bandwidth that he's apparently had to incur lately. So I put a link there on our website if you want to help him out because you like the game or whatever. Go ahead. And in the meantime, you should probably also check out Project Gotham 3
Real
Geometry Wars Evolved.
Yeah.
But it's a really well-done PC game, and I'm normally not the PC guy, but...
No, you're not.
It worked, for one.
It worked right away.
I was able to turn it off and turn it back on. Still worked. And I was able to use my PlayStation 2 controller on it, so that's fantastic.
Yeah.
However, I did turn the auto-fire off.
Yeah, you have some strange thing with auto-fire. I would think that would be one less thing I need to worry about while I'm playing.
I'm trying to be as close to the original as possible. That's the goal here. And the original doesn't fire unless you push the stick to fire. Makes sense to me. And I want to just not hear the sound of, you know, lasers being shot off every instant. So
but you pretty much always... See, when I watched you play, you pretty much were never not shooting.
You know why? Because the auto fire was on. I would have been. I also like sometimes to go for accuracy, so I'll only shoot one bullet and see if I can hit the thing.
Right? Okay.
On the PC, with at least my USB adapter, it's not as accurate as an Xbox controller, so, you know, maybe if I get the wired Xbox 360 controller, plug it in, or use it on XP, then it'll be better.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
for right now...
You were talking to me that suddenly I need to get a wired controller.
Exactly.
For no reason.
It's iffy with the PS2. So anyway, I really love Grid Wars. I suggest you give it a shot. I also tried out that Rumble Box game that we talked about last week.
Yeah, yeah.
From the Independent Game Festival.
Box guy and fight.
That's the game where, everybody's made out of basics like spheres and cubes, and
you need to get out of the box.
Yeah.
You're in a box and get a
beat up a bunch of guys. They stay on the ground. You can use their bodies to climb up out of the box, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
I thought it was interesting. Put out by Digipen. I think it was well produced.
Yeah, very well, I guess, done.
Didn't
it was
crash.
Very complete. How about that?
I like that. So, now here's, we talked about that. Are there any games you've been playing for the last week?
Okay, well, a nice story I had last night. It took me about 20 minutes to get my Xbox 360 realized that I had wireless controllers. But after that,
this is a common problem with your 360.
This is the first time it's happened, actually.
Really? I thought you were having issues with it. Okay, that's because the other one is just flat out broken?
The other one's just broken, and I'm going to have to return that somehow.
Okay.
Although it's too late, but something will happen.
They like us over it at the stores. They'll take care of us.
Yeah, they'll take fine. But we finally got that working, and then my roommate came out, and he said, oh, you have, I was going through, like, my demos and stuff like that, and he's like, oh, you have Fight Night. I was like, well, let's play that. So, like, all right. Ended up playing that for, like, a couple hours. Apparently, if you do too many rematches, the game gets very, very glitchy very quickly.
Really?
Like, you know, our gloves were going into each other's heads, and, you know, it looked very bad.
I haven't heard reports of that. A friend of mine actually has the whole game. And
I'm sure it's not on the, you know, full game, but on the demo at least it didn't like it.
I wouldn't be too sure, but I just haven't heard complaints of it.
Well, I do like, I played Fable on the 360, and then I had a mandatory update on the for the dashboard, so I got that. Oh look, can't play Fable anymore.
Really?
So
they took it out of the emulation pool?
Apparently it's still on their website, but as far as I know, every time I put it in there, it's like, can't play it, this is not supported. So
okay.
I'm not sure what the deal is, but
gotcha. Hey Andrew, you're listening here. How many minutes do we have left? We got 4 minutes. Okay.
4 whole minutes.
We have time. All right, I'm going to move on.
Okay, Alon has a game that he wants to play.
Okay, so I've been listening in the morning on my way to my job that pays me. I listen to the radio. Howard Stern's gone, so I listen to Adam Carolla now, being on the west of the Mississippi.
Surprisingly, he's gotten funny. I listened to him the first couple times, didn't care for it.
Listen, he's not...
He's getting better.
He's not excellent, but I think he's doing a good job. And he does this bit called Ask His Rodeo, which I like. And so we're going to blatantly rip it off, but we're going to switch it up a little bit, all right? He does Ask His Rodeo. One guy, he'll say something or name something, and the guest of the show, you know, has to kiss his ass.
Yeah, he'll say
how much they like it or
whatever. I love sushi, and then they'll have to say how much they love it. And then she'll say, you know what, I hate sushi.
Yeah.
We're going to do it a little differently.
Yeah, you just try to kiss the guy's ass. So we're going to do, it's like a tennis match, right? Now, I guess they're calling it the rodeo, so staying on a bull. We're going to do doubles Ask His Rodeo, Nate and I. We haven't told each other what it is we're going to mention.
Yeah.
But
I have a feeling this is going to go very badly.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Because we haven't practiced this. This is the first time. All right. Are you excited about this, Andrew? Are you like going to laugh?
Andrew is ecstatic. You can't see it.
I saw Equilibrium on TV today. You know that movie where you're not allowed to have emotion and you get killed if you do have emotion?
I was there.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did see it.
So I think Andrew is very much like the people in that movie where he has no emotion. So, anyway, we're going to move on and do this doubles Ask His Rodeo video game theme.
All right.
Are you ready? I wish we had, like, some background music, but we don't actually
have. Do you have any lounge music?
Because we got to keep it low. If you have banjo or something, Andrew, he's going to cue something up.
He's working.
I've been excited about this. I meant to do it last week. All right, keep it quiet, though. Oh, this is good.
This is very good music.
We're like an actual radio show these days. Wow, this sounds like Samba de Amigo.
You know, I realize now that we have like 30 seconds left, so we might want to get going.
No, we do. We have 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Here we go. I'm going to start it off.
All right, you go for it.
Nate, I am a big fan of the Super Mario series.
Really? And why should you? Because it's a great system. You know what I also like? Gold rings.
Gold rings? Like in the Sonic games. I love those because if you don't get those rings, you're going to die. So it's important that you are grabbing as many as you can, and I can understand why you're such a big fan of the rings, but I gotta tell you, one of my favorite types of games, not so much about golden rings, I like music rhythm games.
Music rhythm games? I can totally see why you would like them, because they're great. I mean, they're so, you know, they got the rhythm and the beats, but, you know, a person that doesn't like video games, Jack Thompson. Don't really care for that guy.
You don't like Jack Thompson? I hate Jack Thompson. He is a blowhard, full of crap, and he's got a phone number with 666 in it. Who would want to like that guy? I don't. But I got something that he wouldn't like that I do love. Extraneous vibration peripherals, like the Res Trans Vibrator. Love that.
And who doesn't like the Res Trans Vibrator? Because, I mean, it'll give you an erection. I'm not sure we can say that on the radio. But, hey, that's really good. And you know, another thing I look like just as much as that, Star Fox.
Star Fox was a fantastic game. It opened up the world of 3D gaming to a bunch of Super Nintendo fans around the world. And I'm sure that that game just, it opened up horizons for people and led the way for more 3D gaming for people who just weren't used to it. So another thing that I love, not really related to 3D gaming, but the large Xbox controller. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Love that controller.
That thing was great because it was like having a table on there. You could eat off it. It was just so nice and, you know, big. You know, each hand held one of the joysticks. It was awesome. But you know what I also like? The game Kario Warriors for the NES.
What a great game. The octal joystick where you turn and you point. It was a great input method. You were able to kill war guys. It was wonderful. I think this is the end of Ask Us Rodeo.
Is that
it? We have to go, everybody. We're doing this again next week. This is great. Thanks for the help, Andrew. We'll be back after these messages. We are back. Ran out of time. We were doing the Ask Us Rodeo.
We were doing great.
I gotta say, I don't think we did it as well as we should have.
We did talk during the break, and I guess I misunderstood. I've only heard it once, and for like half a minute. So I wasn't exactly sure how the whole setup worked. Alon discussed it with me.
We're supposed to be kissing the ass of the co-host a little bit more during. We were just talking about the stuff. So
yeah.
We're gonna do better next week. But still, I think it went really well, and I enjoyed it. So, you know, I bet, though, if you went to UAT, you would learn how to do the Ask Us Rodeo even better, because you'd learn more about games.
Of course.
The doubles Ask Us game-themed.
That's right.
Rodeo.
That's trademarked, by the way.
Yeah.
The doubles.
Nobody come after us for that. So yeah, go to UAT, learn all about video gaming and video game production.
Yeah, they got the art, and they got the gaming.
Programming,
and
all
the
that
programming.
Stuff. It sounds like we were programmed to say that almost.
Almost.
But we're not.
We're not.
We do.
Out of the kindness of our heart, we
exactly.
want to say that.
Okay, so this segment... We're going to bring up something that I mentioned earlier. All this gaming legislation happens.
Yep.
And I want to point out that recently, GamePolitics.com, a well-respected site where you can learn about all this stuff and the topic of today's show, this first topic anyway, they even recently started something which I thought was very useful. And I'm not sure if I thought about it before they ever did it or if I only thought it was really cool after they did it. But like they have a Google map. They worked with Google Maps.
That shows all the legislation.
Yeah, it shows like pinpoints on where there's laws that are coming up for whatever. And I thought that's interesting. And then lately, like there's all this news and Game Politics webpage is just filled with...
All it is gaming laws that are coming up or legislation that's being brought up.
This old senile senator's coming up with this bill. And then there's the recent one in Utah where they passed it by the House, but apparently the Senate just decided to let it die.
Yeah, they didn't look at it, so it died on the floor.
Nothing happened. And it's like all these places, left and right, you're looking and pointing and thinking, like, what ignorant senator is trying to make a rule now that doesn't make sense? And, like, they tried to do it with rap music, and they tried to do it with everything they didn't like, violence and movies and sex, and, well, they succeeded with the sex part, pretty much. But, like, for the most part, I'm just wondering, do I need to care? Is it something that's become so prevalent that, like, I'm just not even going to bother with anymore? Or is it something that I think should just go by the wayside? I'm having a hard time deciding if it matters at all. Because they keep getting shut down.
Well, they do, but I think you still need to... To use an analogy, I mean, just because a guy keeps trying to break in your house, but he's really bad at it, doesn't mean that you should stop caring, you know?
All right, I see that point.
Because, I mean, eventually, if we just totally ignore it, you know, the reason why it gets upheld and turned over is because people are saying, like, hey, you can't do that, you know? And they have lawyers that, you know, they'd come up and say, no, you can't, you know? There's proponents against these bills and laws and stuff like that. And if we just stop, you know, looking at it or actually caring about it, suddenly, you know, someday one of these things is going to get, you know, pushed through, you know, and the next thing, games are going to be controlled by the Federal Trade Commission. And I don't think anybody wants that.
So am I just like an arrogant prick thinking, well, we've got the ESRB or the ESA and we've got, the EFF and all these people fighting for our rights, so why do I need to care?
Well, I think it's the point of everyone to care, and you are an arrogant prick. But I think you're just a little misguided. Just because they're, you know, I mean, they're taking the reins, but I still think we should all be concerned and, you know, at least be informed You know, maybe one day you're walking down the street and one of those arrogant senators walks by, so you can like, hey, what are you doing?
Why are you passing this stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really, like I said, I'm having a hard time deciding. Because I feel really good about just sitting back and not caring right now. That's how much it's gotten to me, that I look at it happen. Like, okay, it's lame. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger tried to do something, didn't quite work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sitting in court right now and will be for months. This Utah thing just happened. It just gets passed over. Do you really... I mean, the Senate didn't even want to talk about it. That's how much they didn't care. Or do you think that it was because, you know, people on our side told them, hey, you know, if you don't want to get yelled at, maybe you should just let it die. Do you think that had anything to do with it?
I could see a little of both. But still, I mean, it's one thing to, you know, be, you know, optimistic to the point, you know, that, you know, I understand what's going on and I don't really, you know, feel that I need to worry too much. And then there's another way just to be, you know, totally ignorant and just don't, you know, like, and I'm not even going to be bothered by it anymore. And then just, you know, next thing you know, something happens. Oh, what, you know.
If I donated to one of these causes, would...
Then you could feel better.
Would I be able to feel better?
You give them like $5 and then you should be all right.
And they'll be able to continue on and I'll be like, oh, that's all right. I made my contribution to the cause.
I at least think you as a journalist should want to keep up on this. Maybe not so for our listeners, you know, who maybe not want to, you know, not care as
Maybe
much.
That's it. Maybe it's that I just don't want to cover it anymore.
That might be it.
It's like the Thompson
thing. I'm with you there. Yeah, it is exactly with Thompson. I mean, it got to a point where, you know, I would come, you know, meet with you during the week and be like, what are we going to talk about? I was like, well, Jack Thompson did something. We're like, no, let's not talk about him anymore because he's not worth it.
We're fueling the fire.
Yeah.
Now, in this case, senators are going to keep doing their thing anyway, but I don't know. Like, maybe this wasn't such a great topic because I'm so confused, right? I don't have that stance. We can't do the point-counterpoint thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm not particularly on the side that I need to not care. Like, I don't want to, but there's part of me that's, oh, I totally should, but it's so boring.
You're very apathetic towards whatever.
I think it's just that it's boring. I want to care. But, like, here, I'm at GamePolitics.com, and I got to tell you, still a good site. And it caters to a certain, you know, folk who wants to see all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to the point where I don't look at it as much anymore because... it's the same old, and I wish there was more than just, you know, the violence coverage and the legal coverage. I can look and see, ooh, Snoop Dogg's game was canceled. And this is actually sort of interesting. It would have been more interesting if the Midway people who canceled it said why they canceled it, and they just said it was sequelitis. And
yeah.
That's a way better answer than the Peaceaholics in D.C. told us that they were going to fight us on it, which apparently happened, right? But for the most part, it's like, this guy, there's a bill, there's another bill, there's another bill, there's another bill, and I'm just sort of getting bothered with it.
Well, I mean, eventually, every state will have a bill, and then it'll just die off. So, I mean, we're up there, what are we, like at 12, 13 now?
I don't know, you could go look at the map.
I have to look at the map.
But I mean,
I know it's a few states.
To be honest, I think they're realizing, like, they look at the past efforts to do similar things with other media, and they realized it hasn't gone anywhere.
Well, like with Utah, I think they've realized that, you know, just totally going full bore with this is, you know, it's not working. So now we're, you know, cutting it down. You know, they're trying to not get, you know, they're not shooting for the moon, but they're trying to get something. So, now it's porn. So now, you know, you can't have a GameStop, you know, 100 feet away from a school with neon lights or anything like that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't know. Like I said, maybe...
I'm just saying that, you know, you should at least... you know, be aware of what's going on, you know, because if you don't, you know, next thing you know, boom, they've just snuck something in and you didn't even know what happened.
Yeah. Bottom line, I guess I agree with you. I still don't want to do anything about it.
That's what it comes down to.
Like, I'm the guy who doesn't go to the protest, doesn't hold the sign.
Yeah, I'm not that guy either.
Yeah. But that's all right. As long as you know you should be.
I'm the guy at home watching and said, man, if I didn't have to make that sandwich, I'd be down there.
I could just see you. Yeah. Joint in the pocket. Too lazy to even light it. Yeah. All right. Now, there is one interesting thing on there on GamePolitics.com I just saw. Apparently, like, I didn't know anything about this, but, like, there's a breakdown of the union of the NFL players or something. So
yeah. That's a little news bit that I have.
Maybe we should save that till later because we wanted to talk about something else in this segment.
Did
that
we?
You worked on today.
That I worked on today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess we decided that we're going to have a tagline for...
yeah.
Chatterbox.
We want to be able to say, we're Chatterbox, and then something else.
Yeah.
You know, the dot, 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 and it's something funny.
Yeah. So,
so we could put it on a t-shirt.
We did some brainstorming today, and kind of had some... we have one that we're going to use. We've agreed upon this. But I thought it would be nice if we had the top 10
We put together the top phone. So you actually recorded what we were talking about.
Of course. Okay. And then I wrote it all down.
All right. So yeah, let's
at least names anyway.
Let's hear the top 10 taglines
as the music goes up.
We got a minute.
All right. So number 10, for serious.
I think that 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. And then Pixelani's coming at you. Dog spatula phone dresser. Well, that was really,
I wasn't a big fan of that.
We were just kind of doing, you know, words for brainstorming. But anyways, then we had We're Not Gay. Gaming Gurus with Guts.
All right, save the rest for after the break. Right. We'll be right back after this, and I want you to call in 866-536-1100. Good topic coming up. We are back. Chatterbox, a video game radio show. Once again, my name's Alon.
I am Nate.
And this is our show.
Yeah.
We talk about games. And so we're going to keep doing that. We talked about right before the break that we have a list of our possible taglines. Nate was going over the list.
I was going over the list.
I'm particularly fond of the one that says we're not gay because
it made a point.
There's been that confusion.
There has been.
So let's continue. We stopped off. We're looking at number five now.
There were number five. Hacksaws to the Maxaws.
Personal favorite of mine.
Leet for life. In Leet.
In Leet speak.
For the last time, we're not gay. That was another one that came up. We really wanted to drive that point home. And then gamers before birth.
Not bad.
And then
you can see why it's number two.
Yep. And then the number one, the one we kept, the one we're sticking to, pushing pixels before it was cool.
I think that's what we're gonna keep.
Yeah.
Pushing pixels before it was cool, and that'll open itself up to all sorts of stuff except .com domain.
That's
because
right.
Everything related to pixel pushing or pushing pixels, everything is.
I'm
taken.
Sure it has been taken.
All of them, years and years now, they've been taken.
Now, if you would like to maybe give us some tagline ideas that you have, go to our forums at
ChatterboxGameShow.com.
Yeah.
Chatterbox.
Thank you, Andrew.
And there's also an alpha site up. If you go to the forums, you can see about that. We're working on a new website.
Yeah. A little nicer, a little more sleeker. There's games on this one.
Yep. Might work better in your browser.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway.
Unless you're using Internet Explorer.
Yeah. I have a real topic I want to talk about now. This one is what we mentioned at the top of the show. I want to talk about game companies and
games becoming a little too cookie cutter, a little too sequelitis, and perhaps they're not in touch with gamers anymore.
Yeah, that's been basically on the tip of everybody's tongue forever now, like the past several years. And so I'm wondering if they're really in touch with us. And I think one thing to separate or to discuss at least is, you know, is it what really matters is the game companies or the game developers? Because we're going to go to GDC in like 2 weeks, and when you're there, you see all of this intelligence, all of this, even from people who've put out crap games. Like, I've seen a guy talk about Game Boy Advance games, like at the beginning of the Game Boy Advance, where he was just making stupid Spider-Man wall crawler games. Right?
Or Raven 2, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so Raven 2. They make crap, but, like, the people behind it, they seem to know what they're talking about. And they seem like they put real effort. Like, he might have had the best scrolling algorithm for a 2D sprite-based Spider-Man game, even though if I have no interest in playing that game, you know, and so there's a lot of talent and everybody has their ideas of what would make a great game.
You think maybe it's being put in the wrong place? It's being pushed in the wrong direction?
Where's the control? And I think another important thing, and we were talking about this before the show, another great thing to differentiate here, are the game companies in touch with us? Okay, does your response change if I give you a country of origin? Like if I talk about, are the Japanese companies in touch with their fans? And with the people that they're making games for, and with themselves, and then we can talk about American companies and see if that changes. Because I think it does.
Now, we were talking a little bit about this before, and I had said that it seems more that, you know, over, you know, in the Japanese market, it's more of them asking, you know, what you want to play, and over here, it's them telling you what you want to play.
Yes, exactly. So, like, you're going to like this. You're going to play it, and you're going to like it, damn it.
And I think it's so much that, you know, there's this innovation, you know, that you got to strive for. It's like, you know, you've never seen this before, and you're going to want to play it, and you're going to want to buy it. And even though it's not necessarily new and it's been done before, but they, you know, put that spin on it. And even though it's something that you really don't want to play, you know, they say that you want to do it. And then the first week of sales are pretty big.
Yeah. And to give you an example of this, obviously marketing, huge marketing pushes for a game are one thing that does that. But also the perennial nature of a lot of the video games coming out now. You know, EA, and we've talked about them this past with sports games every year. And I decided that, okay, maybe this isn't such a bad idea because, you know, it's only $50 a year.
And
the grand scheme of things,
if it's your hobby, you know, that's
not a big
fine.
Deal. But then I look at it as like, you know, when you're making a game year after year, you have all, you design conceptually a lot of great ideas on paper. Oh, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this. And when you're making one game or a sequel to one game that was good, right, all these great ideas come forth. When you're making a perennial game, like, oh, all these great ideas, let's put one or two of them in this year. All right, next year, let's work on this other idea. And then the console generation transfer happens, and instead of putting good ideas in, you just put a bunch of work into graphics.
Yeah.
Right? And then, let's have these great ideas from, you know, the second iteration of last console generation. Like, 2002 is now 2007.
Yeah.
You know, and so they slowly add these good ideas instead of really sitting down and saying, what would make this game the best? Right? And you'll see this a lot in a lot of, like, platform games or whatever. You've got this great idea, great game, one character goes through and whatever, does what he or she does in the game, and it's great. And the next version, now you can play as either the guy or the girl. You can choose, right? And the next version, you've got the guy or the girl or the kid, and you can drive cars.
Well, you know, it kind of makes sense for, you know, if you're making a franchise, you know, they don't want to make what would make this game the best. I mean, I'm sure they can do that, you know, for like the first one, or at least make it good. But, you know, if you've already made a game that's the best, why should I buy the sequel? Because the first one's already been the best. You know, you can't add on. But if you say, here's the okay, and then, you know, and then the next iteration, and here's the all right version, you know, and you just keep adding on to that. I can definitely see with, you know, the NFL license, if it's coming out every year, why should they always try and make it the best? Because they know some, you know, X amount of people are going to buy, you know, this game.
And that's why I think it's bad. You take some people like to challenge themselves. Americans, we like to be very lazy. Like I discussed, I don't want to deal with the politics, right?
No.
I'm a pretty lazy guy.
And I don't want to go to the protests.
Exactly. So, like, I don't want to work hard. I don't want to think about new stuff, whatever. But then I just, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm not in Japan, but I just envision the Japanese gamers, like, or developers, putting a lot of work in it. We're going to make the best game we can. And next year, if we have to make a sequel to it, we're going to work hard. We're going to think of some new stuff. We're not going to save some idea that we had this time. I mean, obviously, when you're designing a game, or for those of you who don't know anything about game development, like, you have tons of ideas, and you have to decide which ones you're actually going to implement, because there's limitations. But when you limit falsely, you know, just because, well, you know there's one coming out next year, you should be doing the best you can, and then do it better
also,
next time.
This might be a tangent, but there was, I forget where it was, but they had an article about development times, and, you know, could it be that, you know, games are being, you know, you always got to push a game out, you know, when, especially EA was under, you know, every 6 months, you got to push a new game out. And, you know, maybe with lower costs, but with a longer development time, maybe they can put in these, like, good ideas and make great games.
Well, the problem is more development time means more cost because you're paying people over time.
Yeah.
So it's tough. I mean, the truth is longer development time will mean a better game, you know, as long as the people are devoted to it. If it's a crap game and they don't like it, they're probably not going to do a great job.
True.
But, I mean, I want to get a little bit back more on topic here. I want to give an example of a company that really does care, or at least I think they do.
Okay.
You know, I've been blindsided before, but I was looking at Bungie.net, and I go there every once in a while, and if you're a fan of Bungie games and you've ever gone to their website, you should realize that right on their front page, they've got, like, the weekly Bungie whatever, where they come out and Frankie does this thing where he talks about what's been going on. They do Q&A from the players. Bungie seems like they really try to be in touch, and they're not so in touch that they just take whatever you say and think, oh, yeah, we'll add that to the game. They're like, no, that's crap. This is why we're not doing that. But, like, they talk to you. They're legitimate. They think about it. At least they take it into consideration. And they love their fans.
Well,
they're improving their game.
I mean, it's a hard truth, but gamers don't know what they want.
If
we had everything that gamers want, games would be awful and horribly complicated.
Because we're wrong all the time.
Yeah.
But they think about it. They put a lot of time and effort in, and they stay in touch with the community. I don't know if you realize this, but, like, at E3, they do a special, or at least they have in the past, a special fan meetup where they, like 500 people or something. And so they go into their forums, they know who the dedicated members are. They know that the Red versus Blue team started off as just a bunch of people making a movie based on, you know, the Halo engine.
Yeah.
But now they're, like, intimately not working together, but, like,
they
invite them to
other
places,
yeah,
and they do shows, and they come out to E3 and they do shows, whatever. And, like, when they have a party, they'll invite fans out, right? And I was like, I went up to the guys and I got my Halo copy signed or whatever. They're like, hey, you're going to the fan meetup. I'm like, no, I didn't get the invite. I felt slighted. But other people did, you know. Apparently people are bigger fans than me of the Halo game. And, like, they really care, and they listen, and they pay attention. What's odd is they're part of Microsoft. Microsoft is, like, in the middle. It's not that they don't care what the people think. They try really hard, and I think they just fail.
I think they, instead of, like, actually talking to people, it's more let's do a focus group.
Yeah,
and find out what America wants.
The original Xbox controller was apparently like hundreds of hours of focus grouping.
Yeah, we all know how well that turned out.
I personally think it was good, but when it's so big, it's just, oh, they forgot the part that people are going to be scared off.
Yeah.
By this giant thing, but that's funny. The giant Xbox controller. But yeah, like one example is I realized that Microsoft tries real hard and then they don't always get it right. And when I played, like when Xbox first came out, you know, Xbox Live, big deal. Mech Assault comes out. It's the first Xbox Live game. Great. So I played some Mech Assault. A little bit later, and I might be switching this around, but I think later I played a game called Quantum Redshift. Basically like F-Zero on the Xbox. At least what they tried to do. And, you know, both games made by Microsoft Studios. And, like, you know what? They're totally different style games. One's a mech game. One's like a hover racing game. But each of them has a very similar control scheme where you've got your green, red, and blue button, or whichever the three buttons it uses, and like they each do a specific type of attack. Like one is a long range attack, and one is a short attack, and one's a mid range, or exactly how it worked, I don't remember. I haven't played the games in a long time, but like take this Microsoft Game Studios game about a mech that can attack some stuff, and it's got three buttons in a certain configuration that do certain things. I go over to Quantum Redshift, totally different game, three buttons do a very similar thing, and I'm starting to realize, wow, it's like all of Microsoft Online's games, like they went to a focus group. They said, well, we want simplicity in our games. We want to be able
to standard,
you know, color code. Yeah, but then they took it to every game.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's funny, because it gets sort of boring for me after I've played one game and I go to another, totally different, but it feels like I've played it before. And so it's like they take their focus grouping and as gospel, you know, and they do
a whole lot. Any company, I think, does that to an extent. I mean, there's a reason why they spend all that money and, you know, grab people off the street and give them $50.
Yeah, not Criterion.
Yeah.
So, Criterion, they're like, we don't need focus groups. We know what the gamers want. They don't know what they want. And they've produced year after year games that are great and that people like. The Burnout series.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people like that game. And like, no, we're not going to listen to the people.
But that's not every...
They're kind of full of themselves, but...
That's not every developer, though.
Well, no, but...
Not every developer has the golden touch like they do, you know?
But, I mean, at least they know what they're doing. They can do it because they're right.
Yeah.
Like, it turns out, okay, they're going to be arrogant, but at least they put out a really good game, and I'm still waiting to play Black. It just came out. Haven't got my hands on it yet, but I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic game, and I certainly haven't heard anybody complaining about it yet. You know, they went on they're not doing a driving game, but they're taking what they already know and doing something good, and yeah, okay, so they're not going to listen to the focus groups as much, whatever, but I bet they still produce something great. And then Microsoft, they go in, they do tons of focus groups, and they make a pretty bland game.
Yeah.
That's because they're talking to... Everybody. They're trying to expand their market. Talk to mom and dad. It's like, you know what? Bottom line is, I know you want to expand your market, but the people buying your games, they're the ones who already have a controller in their hand.
I mean, a lot of people buy vanilla, but it doesn't mean it's exciting. You know?
Yeah. Good point. Touche. So then you think of other companies. Like what? I want to hear an example, and nobody called in to tell us about this. An example of a company that's really, really horrible at listening to people and just making crap. And I guess that's because, well, if you make crap, you probably don't hear about them much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. A lot of companies we've heard of at least have made something good. Like,
I know one for the Super NES, Titus. They made a lot of awful games.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm thinking like the Lara Croft series, Tomb Raider series, like started off really good. And then I don't know if they really kept in touch. I don't know if they paid attention to what people really wanted. They went on the beauty.
I know
fix.
I'm wrong, but like, I guess my personal opinion, they kind of did that with the Prince of Persia series, where, you know, the first one was more about like jumping and solving puzzles, and then it just totally went to combat and everything you can do with combat moves and stuff.
Yeah, it's like
that.
There's a reason the game's popular and you're bringing it back after 15 years.
Yeah.
Because it was about the exploration. And you're right. But then the next one, like, oh, no, people want more
fighting.
No,
people want to fight stuff.
We're going to put more fighting in. Like, how about you make a game with fighting in it and don't call it Prince of Persia?
Yeah.
Right? Because you're just going to ruin the series. And then, from what I'm told, the third one, much better.
Yeah.
They
got a little bit better.
They figured out that, oh, look, people don't necessarily want what we thought they said they kind of wanted. I don't know. I do like how you started off your sentence there with, I know I'm wrong, but that's always a good way to start off an editorial.
I just want to say it's my opinion, because I know Prince of Persia 2, you know, that was a success as well. I mean, people bought it. So.
Yeah. Well, when you have that much marketing and that much name behind a game,
yeah,
it's going to do well. All right, so we're going to be back in a minute. We've got Nathan Smart for another Smart Attack.
Smart Attack.
Great. I am waiting to hear what he has to tell us this week. Also, we've got Matt on the phone from Pennsylvania. We're going to hear from you, but we're going to just make you hold on for a bit, okay?
And as always, we'll have my news at the end.
Exactly. We'll be back after this break, everybody, for another Smart Attack.
Chatterbox.
Once again, we are back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio, the hosts with the mosts.
Ooh, nice one.
Yeah. Is that our new tagline? No, our tagline is Pushing Pixels Before It Was Cool.
That's right.
Chatterbox, Pushing Pixels Before It Was Cool.
Thank you again, Andrew.
Another reminder, everybody, that you should go to uat.edu to learn about the University of Advancing Technology and all they have to offer regarding video game production and
design.
If you
want to learn about arts and programming, it's right there.
That's what we do. All right, so now it is time for our weekly Smart Attack. I want to bring on Nathan Smart. He's always got an interesting point of view to share with me and you and
always
with our fans. So Nathan Smart, you're on the line, right?
On.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a confession to make.
Okay.
This is the hardest thing I've had to do alone, but I feel like if I don't get this off my chest now, then there's going to be issues down the line when the show gets picked up by Viacom for a national syndication.
All right. So you always sound pretty pretty melodramatic when you call us. Just tell me what the problem is.
Gosh. Oh. Here goes. Alon and Nate. I hate video games.
You hate video games?
Video games. I hate them.
What do you mean?
Those things that you talk about on this show, I hate them.
Now, I mean, I know what you mean by video games, Nathan. I just don't understand. You've been doing the show for a while now. You've done some extensive coverage on video games. I can't believe that you would hate them. There's got to be something else going on here. Are you just trying to get out of doing the show like last week?
You're right. I love video games. It was just a cover-up for what I really wanted to tell you.
Okay. So, out with it. What is it?
Wow, this is so tough, Alon. Okay. Alon and Nate, I love video games.
See? That's what I was expecting. But you're confusing me. What exactly do you mean?
Video games. I love them.
Stop this. I mean, we already know that you love games. You're a video game journalist. I think it's sort of implied. It's what I was expecting. I was a little confused by you at first. But something's got to be bothering you, Nathan. Is there something else
you're
afraid to tell me?
You're right, Alon. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to tell you this. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Just say it!
Okay.
This is an open forum. You're allowed to say whatever you want. I won't get mad or be disappointed.
Okay. I'll say it. Gosh, you're making this so hard for me. Okay. The thing I wanted to tell you is I'm in love with a robot.
A robot? That's weird.
Come on, you said you wouldn't mock me.
I know. I'm sorry. So what robot are you in love with, Nathan?
The chibi robot.
The chibi robot.
Yes, the chibi robot.
And how do you fall in love with a video game robot? It's not even a real robot.
Hey, listen, pal. My girlfriend you're talking about, it's chibi robot you're talking about. Of course she's real, and it's really easy. She's just so kind, and she helps around the house, and that made a really big impression on me. Does so much to help. She cleans up stains. She's helped with my robot spider infestation. She plants flowers. She's a dream come true. She even finds magic coins in all the magic doorways in my house.
I can understand the stain cleaning. I would enjoy that too, but, I mean, I do have news for you, Nathan. First of all, Chibi Robot, it's not real. The robot you've fallen in love with is just a video game. A GameCube video game, maybe a good game, but it's not something you can touch or love. It's not something you can control, except, you know, with a controller. You have no way of actually having a relationship with something that's just on your TV screen.
That is bullcrap, Alon. Chibi Robo may be on a TV screen, but she's stolen my heart. Anytime I'm up for some love, and all I have to do is turn on that TV, and she's right there. She lets me have my space, and she lets me spend the money she finds on cool upgrades.
So, you keep saying she.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that Chibi Robot's a boy robot?
What?
Yeah, the she you keep mentioning? That's a guy bot, dude. It's a dude that you're in love with, dude.
Shut up. I ain't no homo. It's a chick, no doubt about it.
What chick do you know that wears a cape and has a laser beam on its arm?
Oh. My. God. I'm gay. Oh, God. I'm gay for a robot. Oh, gosh. I broke up with my girlfriend for a gay dude robot. I gotta go. I got some major calls to make.
Wow. Another great week. Nathan Smart, everybody.
Yeah.
Nathan Smart. Wow, that is going to be years of therapy.
Really?
All right.
And unfortunately for Nathan, I mean, it's bad enough that he broke up with his girlfriend, but now technically due his his contract, your girlfriend is now a boy robot.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to let him keep this one. But the girlfriend that he dumped, she's on my Rolodex.
Oh, do you have that?
Okay, now, we have very little time. We promised news from Nathan, but I also promised Matt from PA we're going to put him on the line. So I want to take a caller.
All right.
Matt's been waiting for like half the show. Matt, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Matt.
Not too much. How you doing?
Alrighty. Just kind of involves what you said earlier about the show, about, you know, old white guys and keep making legislation. Well, this is a little story that happened to me about, like, 04, like, early 04, when, carding for video games really got popular.
All right, just keep in mind you got about 1 minute.
All right, that's fine. Well, I was in a Walmart, and, I was waiting for another game to come out, so I decided I'd pick up a copy of something, and I went to the cabinet, and the old guy there decided he would card me for a T-rated game, and it ended up being a copy of Escape from Monkey Island.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
A T-rated game?
Escape from Monkey Island.
So did you have
to
prove that you were 13? Is that the point?
Yeah, and I was 16 at the time, and I looked like 11. And, I got carded for a copy of Escape from Monkey Island.
Let me ask you, how many 13-year-olds have ID on them?
I don't know.
How could
any.
You prove your age when you're 13?
Well, I always carry my birth certificate around with me.
Here's my elementary school ID. What was that?
He wouldn't sell it to me at all. He wouldn't even sell it to my mother, actually.
Escape from Monkey Island? That guy, that's not allowed. I mean,
wow.
Wouldn't even sell it to your mom. All right.
Well, a little bit of news before we leave.
Thank you, Matt, for calling.
Oh, sorry. EA could lose its NFL exclusivity.
We talked about that.
Apparently, the antitrust rules would void the contract. Contract.
Basically, if there's no players union, then they don't have control over the players.
Yeah.
And yeah. All right, listen, we got to go. I'm sorry we didn't get to all this news, but we've always got next week. We'll be back in a week.
See ya.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.